Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, and welcome to People, Places, and Perspectives. I'm your host, Maria Edwards. And today, it's been a long time that I've been on this platform just to say hi, hello, how are you doing? How are things going in your neck of the woods? Things are going fine in mine. I'm not complaining. And we're in a new year, year 2022, and I do hope things are going as well for you as they are for me. And being a person of faith, I like to say God is good. And because that's where my faith is, I choose to give him thanks, be grateful, and just try my best to see the glasses half full instead of half empty. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. It's a beautiful day here in good U.S. of A., New York City. Okay, well, today we're going to talk a little bit about mental health and the Black community. This is a subject that we cover every year in Daisy Magazine. Many of you are subscribers to Daisy Magazine, and this is a subject that we cover every year in Daisy Magazine. And this year, we're doing it a little earlier than planned. And it was brought on by the death by suicide of Miss USA 2019. And also other high-profile deaths. And I have to say, I myself have close friends who have loved ones who died by suicide. And to see a family go through that kind of thing, it's not as easy as people think it is. And oftentimes, when you're not close to the situation, you have no idea what the person or persons left behind to pick up the pieces, you know, are going through. But it can be very challenging and daunting for the families left behind to carry on in the absence of their loved ones who died by suicide. There are so many things that can cause this to happen. It's not a cut and dry situation. Every case is different. And sometimes there are people with diagnosed mental health issues that, you know, something exacerbates it and it puts them over the edge. Many have undiagnosed mental health issues. And some is just, you know, life itself, because life itself, you know, can be so challenging. And they go through different experiences and not having the tools to handle their situations, and sometimes not being able to access the resources that are available to them, you know, that becomes the situation. However, we have to do our best to care for the people in our communities and those around us and be mindful of what we say and how we say it to the people around us. I see where I have my guest today, who is, hello? Hello? Are you hearing me?
You.
Are you hearing me?
Which one?
Hello? I'm sorry? Hello? Hello? Okay, let me do this. Hello, Lorenzo? Lorenzo?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Okay, yes, I am hearing you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to keep my headset. I don't know if that's working.
Okay, well, I'm hearing you clearly.
All right, hold on one second. Let me try with the headset.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to People, Places, and Perspectives. I have to introduce my audience to Lorenzo Holloman. He's a dear friend of mine. And he is also, if I say he's a basketball connoisseur, I wouldn't be wrong, because he plays more basketball than I think Shaquille O'Neal. Maybe he makes them look bad. But he really loves the game of basketball, and that's his one of his favorite things. But Lorenzo is a realtor, and I met Lorenzo at a networking event before the pandemic, like a few years before the pandemic. And we have been friends ever since, and he's a regular contributor to Daisy Magazine. And he's one of those people that we from time to time bounce ideas off. But we have always talked about some of the things that affect the Black community and some of the issues. I know one of the things he's passionate about is buying Black. But today we're not going to talk about buying Black. They can do that for another show. And trust me, that's like a whole day show with Lawrence, because he has so many ideas and he feels very strongly about that particular subject. But we're talking about mental health and the Black community. And how it really affects Black people in general, because Black people are not so open to going to get mental health help as other ethnic groups. Lorenzo, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's basically a stigma in our community. And, you know, we can always trace things back to culture. And with our culture, it's a little difficult because, you know, not only do we go back to our Caribbean culture, our African culture, but we go back to our American culture where irregardless of what issues we had, we didn't have the liberty to have issues because
right.
we were here to do one thing and one thing only is to work. And,
right.
And work ourselves to the ground, and so there was never opportunity to express any concerns or any issues any family member of ours was going through. You know, it was probably back in those days, if a person had serious mental issues, then literally just like an animal, they would put them down. You know,
yeah.
It was unproductive. Unuseful,
yeah.
to them, you know.
Right.
So you know, I can see how you fast forward that to generation after generation. Those things had to be hidden and suppressed, and
yeah,
to a point where you know it's not even an embarrassment. It's a survival mode. So you know that's one end of it. But within our culture, we don't freely open up to and accept, you know, the stress and the strains that our community goes through, and
exactly.
we bury those mental issues.
Yes.
And the support for having it was never there.
Right.
You know, I grew up in East Harlem, and you know, let's say for instance, when I was born in '56, you know,
but you're born in 56?
My mother had to.
I have a friend who was born in 66, and she makes no bones about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm grateful that I made it this far.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
But the point where it was going with is
yeah.
even in the European community, European Americans, listen, like we're African Americans, and they are European Americans. I don't like to use the term, you know, Black Americans and, you know,
right.
white Americans. And then
right.
we say we're African Americans as if, you know, they're from Africa and they're from here. They're not from here.
Right.
They're from Europe.
Right.
So they're
yeah.
European Americans. And even during those days, let's say in New York City alone, they would literally send you to Ward's Island,
mm-hmm.
Randall's Island, Rackers Island, you know,
okay.
back in the 20s and the 40s. So if a person had any mental issue, they would literally just send you to an isolated location and mm-hmm. And just act like you didn't really exist.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have that part, but yeah.
Right. But Black people, you know, it go as you say, it goes back to our history, you know, in slavery, and it's not only the history from the African American perspective, but Black people in general, anywhere in the Americas, have experience with coming from, you know, slavery. And mm-hmm. it is a fact that it's not only unique to here, but also to Black people from other territories who have experience with mental health issues, who are just carted off to what we used to call in Jamaica the almshouse. You know, they weren't given proper, especially a person who has severe mental health issues. They weren't treated like, you know, if it's a regular health issue. They were literally carted off and just left there with very little medical attention. So here we fast forward now, you know, to 2022. With all this technology and everything, and we're still facing the problem of the stigma that faces Black people who have mental health issues. And it is now taking people who are famous to talk about their struggles with mental health issues to sort of help to, you know, soften the blow, so to speak, on mm-hmm. the mental health crisis in the Black community.
You know, unfortunately, we get caught up with the culture so much that we need, you know, somebody famous to validate whatever we're doing is okay, as if, you know, their acceptance of any issue that we have.
Right.
Then we can start to begin to
the healing process. Yeah.
You know.
But also, yeah, and also the treatment too, the treatment as well, because there are not many mental health persons who look like the person that they're treating, and there are not many who understand the cultural and the cultural implications of the, you know, of treating a person who is Black with their mental issues, as well as the customs. And all of that. So it also factors into why many people of the people of color, which is not a term I like to use, you know, because red, green, and gold are colors too. But Black people, you know, that is one of the reasons why a lot of Black people do not get the kind of help that they need, because they don't see people who look like them. And the people who understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. You know, we all, you know, go through our ups and downs, you know, feelings and emotions. And, you know, whether you could call it depression, you know, I can't say I've ever been depressed, you know, been frustrated, been sad, I've been angry, I've been embarrassed, you know, I've been all those things. I can never put my finger on what depression is, you know, but the acceptance of it and the fact that people can hide it, unfortunately, you know, and I don't know, it's fortunate or unfortunate, but like you said, you know, some famous people that are coming up and talking about, you know, the issues, like in basketball, we just had this young man, Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You know, open up that he's been going through, you know, some issues that he had to go handle. You know, most of us, like, you know, making $30 million a year, what issues you got? You know?
Exactly.
But the reality is that money has nothing to do with it, and the proof of the pudding.
Money has nothing to do with it, yes.
It hit us because it wasn't really an issue that we seen, you know, publicly. Maybe we always had it, but we never really, as a community, you know, come out with it, like the European community has come out with it, that they've had issues. What's the young lady that movie star, can't think of her name, played in Silence of the Lamb, you know, she's gone through some
issues. Yes, I can't remember the actress, yes.
Yeah, and she dropped out of the scene for a minute, and now she's back, you know, but, you know, basically because she had to go handle some issues.
Her health issues,
She was having.
Yeah.
And then you look at, what's the young lady, Christy Crisis, the young lady.
Miss America.
Miss USA.
Miss USA, correct.
Yeah, and, you know, and when you look at her, oh, man, it's like she's got the world in her hands.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Like her mother
she's
said.
She's having opportunities with movie stars.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you think she got the world in her hands, and she's so young. And,
yes.
And then she commits suicide, which is, you know, which is sad because she had everything going on right at that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had success. You know, she, like, the world was an oyster, you know.
Exactly.
Those of us, you know, sitting from every day, you know, Jane and Joe trying to just barely survive. And then you see somebody like this, and then you also had, what's the name, King's son that just committed suicide.
Regina King's son. Exactly.
Regina
and
King.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But you see,
you know,
all of that, Lorenzo, you see all of that happening to people who have means, you know, which
right,
really,
right.
As you say, draws on the point, it's not about money.
Right.
And, we have a saying that you see someone, but you do not see what they're going through. Like Christy's
right.
mother said that, you know, pay attention because she said she her daughter was a high-functioning, you know, person with her mental health issues. It was, and suffering, but she did not know the depth of her suffering until after the fact. And so we really have to pay attention to our expectations of people, especially those who are famous. You know, this expectation that especially, you know, the black woman, the strong black woman, oh, she's not supposed to hurt. You know, she's not supposed to cry. She's not supposed to feel. Because of the history and all of that. But no, she's a human being, which means she has emotions and feelings that we need to pay attention to. And when she says she's not okay or he says he's not okay, they're not okay. And listen and try not to say anything that would push them over the edge or give them anything that will compound the problem instead of making it a little less, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't slap them in the face with, like, all the things they got going on in front of them. You know, what's your problem, you know? People
and,
got
yeah,
out there
and
have
that,
to and call, call real problems.
What's wrong with
but,
you? Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, what's...
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is really to, you know, we as a community have to basically be in tune with people around us, our family, our friends. You know, we know them. We know when something's not right. Well, me personally, you know, like you say, you know, as a, you know, old guy that still participate in sports, and I have a group of other, you know, gentlemen and ladies that we play on a regular basis, and we get together, you know, during when COVID basically shut us down. You know, when I would communicate with some of my friends, you know, I kind of felt, you know, that claustrophobia was wearing on them, and I was really concerned. And you get concerned, you know, as a man, you get concerned from a couple of different perspectives if you're in tune with people around you that this person is getting stressed out. You know, I don't want to harm himself or harm his family. So then you start reaching out and just communication. So then, you know, I started doing like just, hey guys, you know, let's do a Zoom get together. Let's all get on a Zoom get together. Let's chat, you know, we can't touch each other, we can't come around each other, but let's just get in a safe zone, you know, so we're all comfortable with each other, and let's just chat, and you can see, you know, because I was feeling like, you know, couple of guys are really stressed, you know, I can feel it and I can see it, you know, in the conversation about what's going on, and I, at home, and it didn't. And we said, hey, you know, we got to do something. You know, we got to try to get together. Then we start talking about, well, let's get together in the old park, and we're all, you know, socially distanced away from each other, and we're like 12 guys in a big circle, like
right.
10 feet apart from each other, yelling at each other, but just glad to see each other.
Yeah.
And for a minute, and everybody's got masks on. So those things are important. Those are things that are important that we all need.
Of caring, of our friends
and family. Because everything's, you know, COVID has compounded a lot of things. You know, as a realtor, I'm dealing with a lot of families that, you know, are stressed out because they're behind on their mortgage. And I basically, you know, try to tell some people that, you know, it's not your fault. You know, government came to us, you know, a year and a half ago and says, everybody shut down. Don't go to work. Don't move.
Yeah. So what do you do?
It just takes 60 days, you know, and then it compounds to 3 months, 6 months, and now people are losing jobs left and right. And then they expected $1,200 that they give you for the year is going to cover all your expenses for the year. You fell in behind so much that, you know, what's that going to do for me? But,
exactly. Well,
you know, the institution basically continues like life was normal.
Exactly.
Some people didn't work for 6 months. Some people lost their job altogether and then struggled to get, you know, unemployment. And now they're behind on their mortgage and trying to catch up. And now the banks are acting like this pandemic never happened.
Yes, exactly.
And so
they
got to let people know it's not your fault. And, you know, and we can fight this, you know, and don't give up, you know, on your asset that you basically built for you and your family. You know, because
right.
this happens, you know, too often that there's always a reason for them to take away our generational wealth. I don't want to get
into
this.
I know.
Imagine the stress
that
compounded on a person, and you know, I was already at a breaking point, and now you throw this on me. You know, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine, you know, all the things that are going on in a lot of people's lives. You know, we all.
But you know,
you know,
funny you're talking about the guns, because
you know?
I read the other day that death by suicide is up. In the black community among young black men.
Mm.
And it is puzzling to a lot of people, you know, reading as a reader, yes, but it is true, and you can understand because, one, the pre-pandemic, the numbers were going up, but post-pandemic, it has really gone through the roof, and you can understand why, because pre-pandemic, they didn't have any jobs. Post-pandemic made it a bad situation even worse for them. You know, and so I can see why that level of frustration has really hit that group of people so hard.
I can understand that.
But we have a few minutes here because it's a half an hour program. We have a few minutes here. But what I find also is that in the black community, there are so many different categories of persons with mental health issues and what they're facing. And it's not only the black community, but in general. And you have those who have been diagnosed, some who have been diagnosed and not taking their medication because they cannot afford it, some who have been diagnosed and choose not to press, you know, follow up their medication, some who are undiagnosed. And living in New York City, as you know, you and I do, we can see it all around us, especially if mass transit is the way you commute on a daily basis. You can see the ravages of mental health all around us. And you sometimes have to wonder, really, what is going on here? What is happening? Is no one seeing? Is no one helping? Is no one hearing them? You know? So that's how we have to, as a community, rally around each other more and try to, you know, really be our brothers and our sisters' keepers and to direct them to the resources if we know where the resources are, because one, we also have to edify ourselves and educate ourselves about mental health and mental health issues, and also to find out where the resources are, where can people go if they are so stressed out, depressed, have anxiety, because mental health is, you know, it's a wide and varied area. It's a wide and varied disease that you cannot just say because the person is depressed, you know, get over it.
Yeah, like, you know, talk about resources. You know, when I was growing up, you know, growing up in East Harlem, we used to always, especially summertime, we'd go over to Ward's Island, which is right over the, you know, right over the East River. We'd walk down to like 103rd Street and then cross over the bridge and go to Ward's Island. And that was, we'd play baseball there. We'd do a whole bunch of things. It was like our version of Central Park, but it was basically uptown enough that it was all of ours. And they used to have these facilities there, you know, a group of buildings, maybe about, maybe 10, 12 skyscraper buildings, probably 14, 16 stories high and grounds. And that was all housing mental illness patients.
It
was fenced out. You know, we were young kids. We were doing stupid things. And, you know, nurses would be caring for it was mainly like ones I remember with the men's facility. We were caring for them, and you know, we do stupid stuff. Well, we won't pass that. But, you know, that was there. But that's no longer there.
Right,
you know, it wasn't there, you know, because this last administration, just like he wants to do with Rikers Island. That he wants to basically take those islands over there, Ward's Island, Rikers Island, Randall's Island, and make them into luxury, you know, locations. Like Roosevelt Island is a beautiful island now. It has one or two complexes on there. Was actually the only area where people of color could go back in the 50s. Actually, Metropolitan Hospitals, which is on 96th Street, was originally on Roosevelt Island, and that was the only hospital. That's even before Harlem Hospital.
Yes.
Know, popular for the black community. That was the only island. That was the only hospital that people of color had to go to. So, you know, my parents had to literally go into the Bronx and then come into Queens just to go to the hospital.
Right.
From Manhattan. So, you know, there was no ferry. There was no real bridge that took you over to Roosevelt Island. You know, they have the tram now. But, you know, that's something recent, the last 30 years that's been put up.
Right.
So, you know, those resources were never there for us.
Right.
And you see it now with what they're doing with the gentlemen, the ladies that sleep on the train. There's no resource for them. There's no place for them to be or to go.
Well, we have just a few seconds to go. And so, Lorenzo, tell me what's going on with Hoops and Homes.
Well, Hoops and Homes, you know, we're doing a lot of great things within the community. You know, we're getting ready to start up a technology program, you know, in East Harlem for teenagers. We're starting a drone league that's going to be a competition between all the different projects. And the game plan is basically to teach young men and women about technology. We've done entrepreneur classes for them. You know, I'm a big sports fan, but I'm no longer interested in teaching kids how to play basketball. I want to teach them how to earn a living.
Technology
is a great, you know, background being in aerospace engineering.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to take that into it. And my real estate is going well. Anybody looking for a real estate buyer or selling, they can reach out to me at LorenzoHolloman.kw.com. Thank you very much for your time. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for being my guest for this show. I know you know you're going to be on my show very often, right? That's just a given. But I thank you for your time.
It's always enlightening when I get around you.
Yes, and I thank you for your time. I appreciate that. And I do want to say to my listeners, thank you for tuning in to another program of People, Places, and Perspectives. Talk to you soon, Lorenzo.
Okay, have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Buddy, stay well.
Okay.